thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Look at it again. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Now turn over, please, to Job chapter 32 and verse 6. Job chapter 32 and verse 6, page 590 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Job 32 and verse 6. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, now listen to this bit of advice, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. Look at that again. Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are old. Wherefore, I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. Now, every young person in this house ought to read that. And every young person in this house ought to ask God to give you a respect for people who have lived longer on earth than you've lived. Now turn back to Joshua again, to our text, our scripture, Brother John led us in reading. Boy, this is a great guy. Caleb is a tremendous fellow. I want you to notice the story as I read through it and give you a few little thoughts. Joshua 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. This is Caleb talking now. Caleb is one of the two spies that said we can go in back yonder 45 years ago. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. Now when Caleb was 40, Moses sent him out with the other 11 spies into the promised land, and they spied the land. Now he's, look now at the last line of verse 10. I am this day 85 years old. He's now 85 years of age. Well, let's see what kind of shape he's in. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe he was bragging a bit. He'd probably been doing some isometric exercises and felt a little bit stronger, like one fellow said. He said, I tell you, I feel as young as I did the day I was 20 years old. And a fellow said, you got arthritis in your right leg. He said, that's a sign of old age. No, he said, arthritis is not a sign of old age. He said, my left leg is older than my right one. Not a bit of arthritis in that leg. And so I'm not sure whether Caleb was stressing the point or not, but I think he's pretty close. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou hast heard, thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Here's an 85-year-old man talking. He said, if God will help me, I'll drive these folks out. And as the Lord said, so Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, I said this morning, today we are infested with a bunch of fuzzy cheek. That's the word, terrible way to put it, isn't it? But we're infested with a group of young people, late teens and early 20s, who suddenly feel that they have really found all the answers for our generation. And they come and they say, anybody that's over 30 doesn't understand the situation. Why, you punk, you ignorant punk, you idiot, you moron. And if I can think of some bad things, I'd say those too. The very idea of you thinking because somebody's over 30, they can't be a help. And the true, honest truth is, I'll get down to the honest truth after a while, but this modern generation of hippies and beatniks and long hair and so forth is nothing more than an effort to get attention quickly. That's all it is. You see, the honest way to get attention is work for it. The honest way to get acclaim is work for it. The honest way to get press clippings is to work for it. Here's a fellow who builds a business. Let's take a man like Howard Johnson who builds a business. Starts off with an ice cream stand, and he works, and he works, and he works, and he sacrifices, and he builds a big business, and then he works, and he becomes famous. Here's another fellow who says, not me. I'll just grow long hair. Folks will notice me as I walk down the street. I hardly ever look at these fellows twice. Hardly ever. That's what they want. It is a shortcut to get a hearing. And by the way, people who take the shortcut to fame fall as quickly as they rise. I recall when I first began preaching, they had a bunch of youth revivalists, 18, 19-year-old boys. They were preaching big campaigns to 10, 12,000 people sometimes. And they said, don't you wish you could do that? I said, no, I don't. No, I said, they'll fall as fast as they rise. You give me a little country church somewhere where I can lay the foundation, learn a little bit here, and learn a little bit there, and learn a little more here, learn a little more there. One of these days, maybe a fellow can build and deserve some attention. Attention that is deserved is the right kind of attention, but not attention that is not deserved. Now, these fellows, they can run universities, they think, but they never built a building, never raised a dime, never set a budget, never set up a curriculum, but now they think they can run our universities. They can run the economy of our nation, these little pink punks running around here on our campuses causing trouble. They think they can run the economy of our nation, and yet the truth is they never worked a day, they never made a dime, they never built a hot dog stand, but all of a sudden they've been given all the answers to how to run America and solve our problems. They think they can run the country. They never built a street. They never operated an airline. They never built a train system. They never owned a bus. They never built a railroad. They never built a highway. They never built a sidewalk. They know nothing about a nation. They never were in Congress. They don't know a thing about operating the country, except all of a sudden, they've gotten the idea they can operate the nation. Now, here's the problem, and here's what's causing these little immature teenage pink punks to ruin our country, and they're doing it. And the reason they are is because we older people are letting them do it. Now, listen carefully. The older generation wanted to go to college. The older generation said, we want to go to college, but we couldn't. Most of us couldn't. And so we revered college, and we wanted to go to college, and we dreamed of getting a college education. But we had to work in the field. We had to take care of rearing a family. We had to take care of helping our dads and mothers make livings and so forth. We couldn't go to college, but we built a reverence for college. We still have the idea in our minds that colleges are today what they were when we were kids. Now, that's the thing. It always takes a college or university, a generation, to find out what it was the last generation. Universities and colleges and Bible institutes always live this year with a reputation on last generation's character. What you were last generation is what you are known as this generation. And that's why you criticize an institution. People say, that's not right. It's not right. Let's take, for example, and I'll just go right out and say it. Let's take over here in Wheaton. Wheaton College used to be a wonderful citadel of the truth. There was a day when Wheaton College was one of the grandest colleges and greatest colleges in America. No longer is that true. Wheaton College was in our budget when I came 11 years ago to pastor this church. As long as I'm here, it'll never be in our budget again. Never. You say, I don't like that. Well, then you can lump it the best way you can. But I don't like it either. I am sick and tired of Christian colleges hiding behind last generation's character and kowtowing to a generation of beatniks and liberals and acting like them. Listen, if Wheaton College is what it ought to be tonight, let them take a stand on the issues of our day and fight and get bloody for the Bible again like they used to. I'm simply saying the time has come when we're going to have to investigate our institution as what they are today, not let them live on the reputation of the last generation. But now listen carefully. We stand in awe of formal education. And so when we, as older people who used to be awed by the formal training and by the university graduates and those who got degrees and so forth, when we have stood in awe of those, and to this day, there's something in people who did not have the right or privilege of formal training in college years ago, there's something that makes them feel unworthy to speak when people that have college degrees stand to speak. There is something about it when we say, he has a college degree, that makes us think we don't have a right to speak. Now, the honest, simple truth is, because you have a college degree doesn't give you one bit more character than if you didn't have one. And if you have 4 years in college and 3 years in seminary, you're not one bit better being a preacher or a successful person in this world than if you had never seen the inside of a college as far as success is concerned. It may have taught you a few facts, but there is a deadening thing in America that is causing the older people to say, well, I never had college myself. He's smarter than I am because he's been to college and I haven't. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further than the truth. There's nothing quite so overrated as a college education. Now, you don't like that, but now that's the truth. There's nothing quite so overrated as a college education. Now, I'm not opposed to college education in Christian colleges, but I am completely and diametrically opposed to sending our boys and girls off to heathen schools and paying their tuition. I'm going to preach a sermon one of these Sunday nights on where your money goes. I'm going to tell you, maybe it's next Sunday night. It may be tonight even. But I'm going to, it all depends on how this one gets off. If I don't get off the ground with this one, I'll try another one. If one plane loses an engine, I just go back and get another plane, take off again. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that I'm going to preach this on where your money goes. I'm going to tell you the institutions you folks supporting that give a day's pay to the Red Feather agencies. Well, that'll curl your hair, or your feather. I'm going to tell you where your money goes. Some of you folks that support these liberal churches, that support liberal colleges, I'm going to show you where money goes. I'm going to show you where your money goes when you send your boy or girl off to a state university where communism is rampant and SDA societies are allowed to be present. And you say, it's not affecting mine. The honest, simple truth is, yours have already been in my office to see me, some of you, and told me I was wrong on this issue. And they wouldn't have done that 3 years ago. We have bowed down and worshiped the God of formal education, and now she is choking our nation to death. Listen. Hey. I won't do this. But I want to play a game. I won't do it. I'd like to have all the people in the choir stand and let you pick out the college ones that have the college degrees. I'd like to do that. You'd never believe it. You'd pick out the wrong one. For example, look at Cal Streeter. You'd think he went to school, wouldn't you? You really would. You'd think he went to school. But, Elaine, try to control yourself now. You wouldn't think he went to school, would you? Now look at John Colson. You wouldn't think he went to college. Nobody would ever predict that he went to college, but he did. Barber College now what am I saying? We are absolutely standing in awe of formal training, and we feel unworthy to speak. Now what happens is this. We have a generation of young people with degrees and a generation of older people without degrees who think because the young person has a degree, the older person shouldn't speak. Brethren, it's time for the older generation to assert itself. When I say older generation, I mean folks 30 and over. I mean folks 40 and over. I mean folks 50 and over. It's time we stood up and asserted ourselves and quit thinking, listen, because your boy Johnny went off and learned trigonometry. As a country fellow said, that my boys learned trigonometry. He said, what foreign language is that? And a country fellow said, he's trigonometry. He said, speak some. He said, power or square? He said, power not square. Cornbread or square. Power round. So what? Listen, I spent 6 or 8 years chasing X. You know where I found it? Right smack dab beside Y. Right beside it. Now, I'm not against formal training, and you know I'm not against formal training, but I am against saying a person is uneducated because he doesn't have it. The man who pastors the largest church in the world doesn't even have a high school diploma. So you say, for the house, nobody ought to go to college. I'm not saying that. I'm saying some folks go to college and get formally trained. Some folks don't go to college and get informally trained, and no more than folks that went to college know. Somebody said the difference between a fellow that went to college and a fellow that didn't is they're uneducated on different subjects. But the honest, simple truth is we have been silent. We have said, unless you have a BA or an MA or a PhD, you are not allowed to speak. Well, of course you're allowed to speak. The best congressmen and senators and presidents our nation has ever had have not been men that were trained in institutions of higher learning. And the best preachers we've had, and the best advisors we've had, and the biggest churches we've had have not been led by men who had so much formal training. And I'm not against formal training, but I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against classifying a fellow as unlearned and unqualified to speak because he didn't go to some university somewhere and get a degree. As in our church, and I'll tell you, this breaks my heart and makes my blood boil every time I think about it. I know a young man in this church. His parents are godly people. They love God. They're sweet people. They're soul winners. They never had the privilege of going off to college. But the dad works out at the steel mills and gets up in the morning and goes out and works in those blast furnaces and works his head off and has for these years. And he worked to rear that boy and give him a decent education in high school. And then a boy went off to a school of higher, so-called higher learning. And there the boy became ashamed of his dad. God bless that good man that's been working out here at the steel mills all these years and rearing his boy and trying to make something decent out of him, and then takes his boy and pays his tuition to send his boy to some godless, wicked deceiver who stands up and says his dad's not very much because he doesn't have a degree or didn't go to some particular university. And that poor dad and mother this evening sit in this service tonight with their hearts broken and their hearts crushed. Why? Because their boy thinks he's too good for mom and dad. Why he's not worthy to untie their shoes? America was built by godly people that stood for right and stood against wrong and stood for the Word of God. And let me say, it's time some of those old godly people got heard from. And let these pipsqueaks without dry behind the ears or behind the beard. It's about time we let some older people be heard for a change. Time that we asserted ourselves. Like Caleb. Now, I want you to notice, you say, well, how can I do it? Well, you've got to stay young. You just got to stay young. You know, I decided I'm not going to grow old. I'm just not going to do it. Caleb said, and boy, I like this, he said, when I was 40, I was strong, and at 85, I'm still strong. I just pray God will help me when I get your age, brother, to be as strong as I am now. Caleb said, 4 years ago I was sent out at 40. We went out to the promised land, and 12 of us went out, and 10 came back and said, we can't do it. We're like the sight. Caleb and Joshua said, that's true. But so they're out, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. And Caleb said, let's go possess the land. And Joshua said, let's go possess the land. And now Caleb is 85 years old. 45 years ago he said, let's go. At 85 he said, I want that mountain. He's still looking for mountains. He's still looking for land at 85. And I'll tell you another thing, too. There wasn't a hippie in Jerusalem that is as smart as he was. Not a one. Now, how do you stay like Caleb? And that's the sermon. What did Caleb do? In the first place, he was optimistic. He was optimistic. Caleb said... Now, I don't know whether he was bragging or not. I guess the older you get, the more you want to brag on your physical prowess and so forth, and you have less to brag on. But anyway, Caleb was 85, and Caleb said, I am just as strong as I was when we went back yonder 45 years ago. Caleb said, I can hurl a spear just as accurately as I could 45 years ago. Caleb said, in war. A lot of folks say that old men are for counsel and young men are for war. No, Caleb said, I can still fight a war. I can still fight a war. He was optimistic. Let me read you verses 10 and 11. Don't turn to it. I'll just read them to you. Verses 10 and 11. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day. Happy birthday, Caleb. I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I can defend myself and I can offend others, just like I could 45 years ago. Did you know that the most productive years of life are not between 18 and 25? Did you know most of the great things of the men been done by men in this world have not been done by young pink punks? They've been done by men, seasoned men. Century Magazine one time took a poll of 400 of the greatest men in the world, and found that 78% of the 400 greatest men in the world, 78% had done their great works between the ages of 50 and 80. Vanderbilt made most of his fortune between 70 and 80. Hindenburg, at 70, commanded the German forces, and past 80 became president of the German Republic. Victor Hugo wrote The History of Crime at 75. Tennyson wrote Crossing the Bar at 83. Gladstone became Prime Minister of England at 83. Michelangelo drew some of his most wonderful paintings at the age of 89. And Century Magazine says that men's most fruitful years are not 20, 25, and 30, but rather 50, 60, 70, and 80. So, you say, Brother House, how did Caleb stay young? The Bible says, for example, that Moses' eyesight was not dim, nor his strength abated when he was 120 years of age. Think about that. 120! And his eyesight was not dim. He didn't have to put on bifocals or wear bifocals. He didn't have to say, here, hold my Bible, I've got to read it. His eyes were not dim, nor his strength abated. At 120. You said, well, House, you mean you think the years were the same size back in those days? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, one way is to stay optimistic. Number two, don't cater to you. Don't cater to you. Now, understand me, don't fight the youth. Young people, I think you're fine. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we're here to teach you something so you'll know more than you know now someday. I'm not fighting youth. I'm just putting youth in its place. But adults, 30 and over, I hate to tell you, but we're going to put you, if you don't watch out, they're going to put us out the pasture. Retiring at 58 nowadays. 58. Retiring. Tell R.G. Lee that. He's 84, still preaches like a boy. Tell John Rice that. He still works 16, 18 hours a day at 74. And retiring at 58. Don't cater to youth. When I was in New York the other day, the night, for a meeting, I told some of our folks about it, got in all kinds of trouble. And not only did I get in all kinds of trouble, the folks that got me in all kinds of trouble got in all kinds of trouble with me, too, by the way. And I was preaching, and they had this choir come up and sing at the state convention in Nanuet, New York, and the Grace Baptist Church of Nanuet had their choir come for the state convention youth choir. And the first young folks you listen to now, and the first girl that came out had a mini skirt on, and the first boy that came out had long shaggy hair and a long beard. The second boy that came out had his shirt open and his undershirt showing, and hair all in his chest sticking over his undershirt. But by the way, mine's unbuttoned hair. Had his hair showing, his shirt tail out, and his shirt unbuttoned, and the hair of his chest showing over his undershirt at a state convention in the youth choir. Only one girl out of the whole choir had on a dress that wasn't a miniskirt. Boys had maxi hair on, and long hair and beards, and they were hippies, you folks that came Wednesday night heard me tell all about it. And they came out, and one guy got the guitar, and the rest of them, as the prelude, the introduction of the song, all the choir went like that. And they sang a couple of three songs, and they introduced me. And I'll tell you, brother, they've never heard anything like that in my life. I dare say their folks still sitting there, stunned. If Lot's wife was there, she'd turn to a pillar of salt. But because, brother, I just in my own timid way, my convictions leaked through like a flood, and like Niagara Falls. And I preached for an hour and 45 minutes. I ranted, I raved, I hollered, I screamed, I kicked, I bellered New York City, the Empire State Building, lost three floors off the top. And so when I got through, I got letters from people. Oh, many letters. And they said something like this, many of them. And by the way, I want to stop and say this right now for our visitors. And I am sick, I am tired, I am weary of us copying this sordid, beatnik, hippie music in our churches. It's of the devil. Everywhere I go, it seems, especially towards the East Coast. Somebody's got to get up with a dress about a foot above her knees, and a bunch of fellows in satin blouses with kerchiefs around the neck like sissies and girls wear. And they got to give some, for Jesus' sake, they're singing some gospel words to beatnik music. And I'm sick of it. And I'll tell you one thing, too. Anywhere I go and they have it, I'm going to make my presence felt. Somebody's got to speak. And so I got letter after. And boy, I'll tell you, when I preach, you've never heard such, really, you've never heard me mean. Listen, the sermons I preach here on Sunday night are sermons on the love of God. Compared to what I was that night. And I got letter after letter, and people said, Dr. Hiles, we just thought that the only thing we could do was just let them do it. We just thought that was the trend of the generation, and we just thought we shouldn't speak. And pastor after pastor told me, I'm going to take my stand too. Time the old folks got heard from. By the way, there's still nothing wrong with beautiful dreamer. And I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. Or Betty or Susie or whoever you dream of with whatever color hair she's got. Nowadays, with the passing of the weeks, you've got to change the color. One week, I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. Next week, I dream of Jeannie with the dark blue hair and light red hair and blonde hair. But I still like those. And I still like the 20th century drawing room. And I still like the classical music. And I still like the old love songs that were decent. And I still like the good music and the songs. I still like it. But the day where good music accompanied good words. Don't cater to the youth. Say, well, the house, this is just a new generation. Sure it is. Sure it is. And they can learn good music and love good art like the old generation did. And young people, and you boys listening to me on the third row here, young people, I don't care who you are, just because you happen to be 16 doesn't give you a right to have a permission to go around and use the world's music and the world's records and the world's beat. It doesn't give you a right to do it, and it doesn't give you a right to think you know more than anybody in the history of this world. The honest truth is there are people sitting in this room tonight, 60 and over, that have forgotten more than you know right now. Now, I'm not against you. I want you to be in your place. It's time that the older people said, we believe we can do something too. Person gets up around 60 years of age, we just put him out in the pasture and put him in a rest. He's not worth anything anymore. The honest, simple truth is we need to hear the advice of the saints of God who've lived for 70. Don't cater to the youth. Seek your peace. Number three, don't grow old. Just don't grow old. Listen very carefully. I'm going to teach you a secret. Tennyson said this. No, Emerson said it. Tennyson has said it too, but Emerson said it, and I said it too. Emerson said, I have the trick of believing everyone I talk to is as old as myself. I have the trick of believing that everyone I talk to is as old as myself. Now, you fellows down here in the debonairs, did you know that when you come in my office and talk to me, I don't feel any older than you? Anybody here that way? When you talk to a young person, you just feel like you're that age. Anybody here like that besides me? You would raise your hand, but you got arthritis and you can't get it up. But now, that's the strange thing about it. I talked to Meredith Popper. Never forget it. Never forget it. She came to work here at the church, and I thought we were the same age. And I said one day, Meredith, I said, do you look at me as being old? And she said, well, no. Well, I said, me either. I said, she said, well, I don't look at you as being old. She said to me, you're like an uncle. I said, a what? An uncle? And she never has gotten back to the salary she had before she said that. Either. Just don't grow old. In the mind, in your mind, be the same. I can get on a ball field, doctor, and be playing with a bunch of kids, and I don't feel like that they're younger than I. I know they can't play ball as good as I can. And I feel like I'm their age. And don't grow. Just don't do it. Bunch of hippies come in and say, we're the younger generation. Let's take over. I say, yeah, we are. Let's take over. Just don't grow. Caleb said, I'm 85. Larry, I can lick any of you whippersnappers. That's in the Hebrew. You say, Brother House, won't you preach the Bible? I am preaching the Bible. I am simply saying that we, look, if these hippies and this college crowd had America, they would destroy America. Two reasons. One reason, their philosophy is of the devil. And the second reason, if their philosophy are right, they don't have enough sense to run a country. Now, if they're going to run a business someday, they ought to start sweeping out the place like anybody ought to start. Start at the bottom, work their way up. You know, we've given them our television screen. Sometime when you feel a little sinful, watch some of these talk programs and see who's on them. Young fellows 22 and 23 years of age are allowed to speak to our nation about the cure to the ills we face. They never were county sheriff. They never were on the city council. They never were, young people, you listen. And you need to listen. That's one thing wrong with this modern generation. You don't think you need to listen to anybody. But you come here, you're going to listen to me. If your hair is a foot long or inch long, you're going to listen to me. But we have given them our television cameras and screens and said, we'll listen to you. And the Abby Hoffmans and others have been allowed to speak their piece across this country of ours when they have not built a hot dog stand yet. Now, where I came from, you're supposed to earn your right to speak. You know, I'm thinking now of a preacher. And by the way, he's a pretty good preacher. God called him. He became a preacher. He wasn't a kid when he was trying to preach. He was an adult. Not an old man, but an adult. And he went to a church, a small church, and built it to be a pretty fair-sized church. I don't mean 300 or 400 even. I mean, he just started off with a few people and got him a couple hundred folks together. And built it pretty quickly. And so pretty soon he became an expert. And every time he'd gather around preachers, churches bigger than he would tell the preachers how he had done his work. He'd advise them and so forth. No, and do you know what? He never did much. He's about washed up now. You know why? Because he thought because he had built a little church with 150, 200 folks, he had the right to advise people. No, that's not true. You earn the right to advise people. You earn the right to be heard. You earn the right to give counsel. You earn the right to help preachers and help others. You earn the right to speak, and you earn the right to be on television. And you earn the right. Nowadays, anybody can write a book. Anybody can be on television. Doesn't matter how hard you've worked. Doesn't matter how much how much up the ladder you've gone. Young people or older people, just don't grow old. Just don't grow old. Stay young and keep speaking your piece. Number four, don't plan to retire. Now, hang on here. Don't plan to retire. That's hard to scare you. You've been looking forward to it for so long. Just don't plan to retire. You will not do much in your generation if you look forward to retirement. Look, a lot of you, every morning you go to work, especially in the wintertime, you see that lake in Florida. And you say, just 8 more years, 6 more months, 24 more days, 3 more hours, and 16 more minutes. I'll be there. And you know what you'll do when you get there? You'll wish you're back at the steel mill. Oh, you say, not me. Don't retire. Somebody said to me one time, said, Brother House, what kind of retirement plan do you have? I said, Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19. And they said, but I mean, when you get old, when you retire? I said, I'm not going to retire. I'm not. Well, listen, when I can't stand up to preach, I'll sit down and preach. When I can't sit down to preach, I'll lie down and preach. When I can't holler anymore, I'll whisper. If I can't whisper, I'll learn the sign language. But now I'm not going to retire. And don't you plan to. Look, look. We are building a generation. Talk about the generation gap. You know what the generation gap is caused by? The older people going too far away. Stay in the battle. Stay in the thick of it. Don't run. And don't plan to retire. Caleb said, I'm 85. I still want that mountain. Do you realize Caleb could have been on Social Security for 20 years before that? I think that Social Security has been a detriment to America. I think it has. In the first place, and this is my sermon I'm going to preach after a while or next Sunday night, one or the other, on where your money goes. In the first place, the money you sent in for Social Security, it ain't there tonight. It's been spent. It's not there. And the reason they raise the Social Security payment is so they can get enough money to pay off the people that are making claims now. You say, you own Social Security? You better know I am. If you send as much money in that place as I do, you're going to get back all you can. But I tell you one thing. I don't have time to go into it, but the honest truth is your funds have been misrepresented by your government. And the money that they have taken that you've worked for is now spent. They don't have enough money to pay off the claims they have now. It's already been misused. But in the second place, it has taught our people to retire, and what has happened is this. The most brilliant minds in America are not being used tonight. The most gifted men this nation has, the best professors, the best Bible teachers, the best leaders, the best politicians, the best men, business tycoons, the best ones. Don Jeff, I tingled this afternoon. I had a funeral and I came back and turned the television set on and the Cubs were on and didn't have much time to look at it. But was I looking? No, I wasn't looking. I was listening on radio. Anyway, something. So I was looking, and I saw Jack Brickhouse, and beside him was a fella, and I recognized him in a minute. It was James Doolittle, General James Doolittle, one of the great heroes of World War II. And I recall how I followed him and read everything I could get about him, and how every time he wrote a book, I read it, and every time somebody wrote something about him, I read it, and I followed him and learned about him and became a great admirer of General Jimmy Doolittle. And I saw him on television. I stopped and listened for a few minutes. And Jack Brickhouse said, "How old are you now, General Doolittle?" And he said, 73. And I said to myself, he said, "What are you doing now?" He said, "Doing a few odd jobs." I said to myself, "He ought to be taking the place of these beatniks, and we ought to listen to what he has to say for a while." He gets about 2 minutes between innings of a Cub ball game, and Rap Brown gets the whole NBC. We're letting the greatest minds this nation has go unused because of the so-called youth movement. The greatest listen. If we had instead, when the late President Truman, here I go dreaming again. It's very seldom I laugh at anything I say myself, but that's funny. When President Truman relieved MacArthur of his command, America should have voted to keep our flag at half-mast as long as we are a nation. We put that great old general, one of the two greatest statesmen of our generation, we put that great old general out the pasture and put him in an apartment on Fifth Avenue in New York City, when the honest, simple truth is he should have been walking the halls of the White House in Washington. Young folks, you couple over here, you listen to what I've got to say because you need it. When General MacArthur was in the last years of his work in Japan, did you know he got a hold of my little Roman Road Plan of Salvation? General Douglas MacArthur called his staff together in Japan and said to his staff, look what I found. And he had Jack Hiles, his Roman road plan that I started as a kid preacher in East Texas. I said, I want you to read you something. He read the Roman road plan of salvation and tried to get his men on his staff to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior because of the Roman road plan of salvation. And yet we've taken the greatest minds we have and the greatest men and sometimes the greatest bodies and said, we don't need you anymore. And we've turned our nation over to a bunch of 21, 22, 23-year-old young people who never have earned the right yet to be heard, much less to run anything. Don't plan to retire. Keep working. Number five, older people, you want to be like Caleb? Keep well. Keep well. I mean physically well. Now, I'm going to say this, and I believe it. I don't think your body and mind needs to deteriorate or weaken with the passing of the years. Brother Streeter, do you know, you and your brother Dennis are somewhat of medical students. Dennis is going to be a doctor, already is maybe, and if you hadn't flunked out, you'd have been one, no doubt. But this is true. When men get 35 and 40 and 45, they don't get out of shape because they're old. They get out of shape because they're lazy. You don't have... No, I've enough said. See me after the service. I'll tell you what I'm saying. But you don't get that big... You don't get that because you're old. You get that because you haven't got any character. So, well, a little old now. I'm getting a little pot. No. The reason that you didn't have that pot when you were 17 and 18 is because some P.E. professor put you through the grind at school. I can tell you boys in this room tonight, 17, 18 years old, already have middle-aged bread. It need not be a middle-aged bread. There's no such thing as a middle-aged bread. There's a lazy spread. I started to say do this, but don't do it. But you just drive out around Munster. Please don't do it. Tonight when I run, I'll have thousands of folks beside the road waving at me. I'm going to run in Highland tonight or somewhere. But you don't have to. Take care of yourself. You only have one body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Use it right and keep it well. Reason you got big fat stomach, you had hair like a hippie, and you men have to go to the doctor, obstetrician. I mean it, you look like that. Look, the body is God's temple. The Holy Spirit lives in here. All I have with which to serve the Lord. Brother John, when our bodies are gone, doesn't matter how warm our hearts are, we'll not be able to serve God. If my body is not strong enough to carry me to this pulpit, I'll not be able to preach no matter how good a Christian I am, no matter how warm my heart or how alert my head. One of the saddest things in this world is the fact we've got cars that take us everywhere. Listen. I've often thought about Elijah. When Jezebel got after him, if Elijah had lived in our generation, she'd have caught him. Elijah couldn't have got away if he hadn't have been jogging every night, taking care of himself. Caleb, you think Caleb got this way? I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. 85, I could still go to war. You think he got that hanging around pizza parlors, French fried onion ring club? Time has come when God's people will take care of their bodies. It's all we have. We don't have to spend all our time at doctor's offices. Now, I'm not against doctors. I go myself when I get sick. But I'm simply saying that if you want... Oh, shut up. Stay young, stay well. Here's one of the problems. The honest truth is, the average American male's washed up when he's 35. Right? Washed up. I don't mean you. I mean, if that's the case, you'd be drowned by now. I mean the average male, by the time he's 35, is gone. He had to run a half a block if his emphysema didn't get him, his heart would. Why? Because we don't take care of ourselves. Keep well. Liquor. If liquor's not sinful, it's not right to use anyway. It's not good for you. If tobacco's not sinful, it's not best to use it. It's not good for you. Our air's polluted. Our water's no good. Our diets are sinful. Our ground is worn out. In the Old Testament, in the Bible days, God said, I want you to raise your crop for 6 years. The seventh year, let your land rest. And we've worn our land out so we don't get much out of our what we raise anymore. The simple truth is, we're killing ourselves for the almighty dollar. We're killing ourselves. Look, did you know when a fellow plowed all day, walked by him, did you know he got exercise and he got fresh air and he was raising something that would be good for him? Average one of us, we get in the car and drive to McDonald's. I'm not against McDonald's. I use the place myself. To me, they have the best French fries in the world and their milkshakes. So I go to McDonald's and get French fries and milkshake and go to Paul's and get me a sandwich. And I'm not against that. But the honest truth is we are eating ourselves. We spend half of our money on junk we eat and the other half go to the doctor to find out how to cure ourselves the junk we ate. And so the young folks have to take over because when you're 35, you got emphysema. We have men in this church that say amen, but they can't get it out. Take care of your body. If you ought to preach the gospel, brother, right in here, if we had more healthy people, we could get more gospel out. What you do, go down here on State Street sometime and just watch the males go by. Now, some of you fellas, I don't have to tell you to do the other, you fellas, but watch, some of you ladies, watch the males go by. And boy, here they come. That's right. Look, did you know? I know some men and women, too, who at 30 are old. And I know men and women who at 50 and 60 and 65 are young and virile and active as they were at 25. Why? They've cared for the body, that's why. I was reading the paper yesterday, a story about Arnold Palmer. I happen to like Arnold Palmer. I know he's not all he ought to be, and he shouldn't play golf on Sunday, but I happen to like him. And I'm in Arnie's army. A buck private, but I'm in the army. Arnie's army. I like Arnold Palmer. He's about my age. And I was reading that he does 300 sit-ups a day. 300 sit-ups a day. John Colson does one. He steps up out of bed in the morning, drops back in the night. There's a reason why men the age of Arnold Palmer can still play winning golf. There's a reason why men the age of R.G. Lee can still stand up and preach. at 84. There's a reason why the John Rice are going strong at 74. There's a reason why the Vanderbilts at 70 make their millions. There's a reason why the Michelangelos can work at 89. There's a reason why some people, the MacArthurs and others, because they have not dissipated their body with a haphazard, undisciplined kind of a life, but they said, my body is going to be strong. Keep well. Keep well. Number six, stay busy for God. Stay busy for God. Caleb said, I want this mountain. Caleb said, I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. I can still go to war. Moses, it was said, his eyesight was not, his eyes were not dim, nor his strength abated. Now, when you get 40 and 50 and 55 and 60 and 65 and 70, just keep on for God. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Look, stay well. Keep your mind alert. Use your mind. Use your body. Never stop. Do you know what? Some of the greatest some of the people in this world that we need the most, we don't have them because they didn't care for their minds and bodies. And they didn't stay actively busy. Actively busy. Now, what's the fellow? I forgot the fellow's name all of a sudden, who was Speaker of the House so long. McCormick. Now, I happen not to be one of his fans. But I don't think because he's old, he ought to be put out of the Speaker's position. I happen to be a great fan of the late Senator Dirksen. I think he's one of the greatest statesmen this country has ever produced. And I was a great fan of Senator Dirksen. I've told this before to our people. You visitors haven't heard me. You new folks. One night I was flying to... And by the way, I'm 43, but I go all the time. I go all the time. And I've preached over 3 sermons a day for the last 13 years. Some days I preach 8 and 9 times a day. And so I went out to the airport late one night, past midnight, to catch a plane. I was going to, where was I going? Winston-Salem. Jim, Winston-Salem. And I got on an electric plane, and the plane was filled. And everybody was asleep. Well, going to sleep or asleep. All had their eyes shut, except 2 of us. I got up in the air, flying, looked around behind me, and I heard a fellow dictating to a dictaphone machine. Looked around, it was Senator Dirksen, right behind me.